Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. This is God's word. "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I do not expect us to get through all the verses that I just read, but I want you to see that they all fit together. In fact, if you want to really understand this letter, start at the beginning of chapter 1, read through to the end of the letter. You will find that even in the verses immediately following where I stopped this morning, it continues to talk about suffering. It talks about suffering all through this letter, and it does so as if suffering is an expected part of the Christian life. In fact, the verses that follow this say, don't be surprised by the things you're suffering as if something strange were happening to you. You and I have a mindset, and I think Americans are particularly susceptible to this, we have a mindset that says suffering is just not supposed to happen to us. You know, if something is unpleasant, we're supposed to fix it. You want to be warmer? We can do that. You want to be cooler? We can do that. You want something different to eat? We can do that. What would you like to drink? I mean, we live in the midst of amazing prosperity and comfort and convenience, and we expect it. And so if you don't feel well, there ought to be a pill for that. And if there's not, then massage therapy or something else will fix it. There's got to be a way to make this right. Do I have to have a surgery? Whatever I have to do, just tell me what I have to do because I don't want to have to suffer. The idea of having to endure suffering is an alien thing. It just doesn't seem right. Folks, there is a sense in which that's true. The suffering in this life should be a tip-off to us that this world is not our home. The reason that there is suffering and sickness and death and sorrow is because of sin. It is because when Adam and Eve were living in paradise and everything was perfect, it was all very good. God said, you can eat the fruit of any of the trees of the garden except that one. So what did they do? Oh, looks good. And I think it'd taste good. And this serpent here says it'll make me wise. So they did the very thing God had said don't do, and God had told them, in the day you eat thereof, you'll die. That's what happened. That's how everything went wrong. They disobeyed God. The consequence was the curse, and that's why we have suffering. But Jesus came so that we could not only be forgiven, but so that we could enter into the kingdom of God. And one day, there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more sickness. We will be with him in a place that is better than the Garden of Eden. So in one sense, the discomfort philosophically that comes along with discomfort physically and emotionally is a good thing. It's a tip-off that things are not currently as they should be. We should be praying as Jesus taught us. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That should be our longing, because right now there's a whole lot of stuff that is not only displeasing to us, but much more importantly, it's displeasing to God. Okay? There's a lot of stuff in this world that is not the way it's supposed to be. But meanwhile, our job is not to make ourselves comfortable. And our job is not to make everybody else comfortable. Our job is to obey him And that will often lead to more suffering. It will often lead us into situations where, because we obey God, we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And when that happens, we're supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to rejoice. You look at the believers in the book of Acts and how when they suffered for righteousness' sake, they gave thanks and said, "Oh Lord, thank you for counting us worthy to suffer for your name." Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And so we're told repeatedly in this letter and elsewhere in the Scriptures that when we suffer for doing good, we should rejoice. He begins in verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3. "Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." God has good things in store for you, and when you really know that, when you really believe what God says that He has intended for you and that He will accomplish in your life, it makes it much easier to be nice to other people. It's a whole lot easier to be nice to others when you're not competing at the trough. Shoving other people aside in order to try and get their way, feeling like, you know, if I don't stand up for my rights are going to get trampled into the dirt, and I've got to assert my rights. And this says, no, live in harmony with one another. Be sensitive to others and adjust. Merrill Dunlop, a wonderful musician from Oak Park, Illinois, was providing the music at a conference in Mississippi when I was a newlywed. And Merrill sat at the keyboard of a grand piano, and he said, "I'm going to play you a well-loved song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And he played it, and it was lovely. And he said, "Now I'm going to play it in another key." And he played it in the other key, and it was still lovely. And he said, "Now I'm going to play it in the first key with my right hand and the other key with my left hand." And it was horrible. It was cacophony. It was discord. When he finished, he said, "Now, I didn't miss a note with either hand. Both hands can say, I did my part perfectly." But he said, "How did it sound?" It was ugly. Why? Because those two keys don't harmonize. And those two hands were each asserting, "I'm right." But because they didn't harmonize, the result was ugly. And he said, within the body of Christ, we have to be very careful, because sometimes we think, "I know this, I'm right." And the other person says, "I know this, I'm right." But there's not a loving sensitivity to one another, and therefore they're both wrong. We're to live in harmony. That means we're sensitive to each other, and we don't compromise truth, but we are gracious in the way that we deal with one another. Live in harmony. All of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil, because sometimes, even in the body of Christ, somebody will do something wrong to you. And you'd kind of like to pay them back. Have you ever wanted to pay somebody back for something they did to you? Just to let them know how it feels. Just going to educate them. Just going to give them a taste of their own medicine. Those are all familiar expressions, aren't they? The reason they're familiar expressions is because that's a natural human tendency, and it's not what this says we're supposed to do. We are not to repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Why? It's not karma. It's the Lord. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God is actively involved in blessing those who do what he says and in punishing those who don't do what he says. Both. He opposes the proud. And so then he says in verse 13 and following, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? In other words, generally speaking, if you're seeking to do good, when people ask me on airplanes and in other settings, you know, so what do you do for a living? I used to have to answer when I was pastoring on Cape Cod, pastoring in Atlanta, I used to have to answer, I'm a pastor. And they'd go, oh, well, that's really nice. It's like the wall goes up, okay? But now I say, oh, well, I run a children's home. And they're like, oh, I've always wanted to do something like that. That's just great. Tell me about it. The walls come down. Isn't that interesting? I mean, whatever you do, if you do something good, generally speaking, people will pat you on the back and say, that is just wonderful. I think that's so good. You have a food bank for the poor. That's marvelous. What a good thing. If you're doing good, people, who's going to harm you if you're doing good? But some people will. Some people will say, oh, I bet this guy is somebody who's easily taken advantage of because he apparently thinks that people are basically good. By the way, I don't think people are basically good. Okay? But there are people who will oppose you, try and take advantage of you, really try and persecute you if you do what is right. And when that happens, even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Why do you do this or this or this? Why do you start a children's home? Why do you start a summer camp? Why do you do what you do? Well, it should be because in your heart you've set apart Christ as Lord. You understand? In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. He is Lord. This is simply a matter of coming to grips with reality. Okay? It's not if enough of us will set apart Christ as Lord, he'll win. He's already won. He's already conquered death. When you set apart Christ as Lord in your heart, verse 15, you are simply coming to grips with what is true. He is Lord. All that matters is doing his will. Nothing else compares. Nothing else compares. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. What a great statement about how we're to witness. Always be prepared, okay, to give an answer to those who ask you. The best people to share the gospel with are the ones who are asking questions. One of the people that my son got to share with on the recent missions trip we had overseas was a young woman who said to him, he said, "Where are you from?" She named a place in China that most people don't know. And he said, "Oh yes, I've been there." And she was shocked. And she said, Why did you come there?" Well, what was the answer? I went there to tell people about Jesus. This is a natural introduction to the gospel. Because the reason he went at age 18 to that place was to tell people about Jesus. Folks, do others see a hope in you that prompts them to ask questions? Why are you so happy? What? My precious friend Wendy grew up a Jewish American princess, had everything the world could offer, and was empty inside. And she said to her cleaning lady, "How come I've got everything and I'm miserable and you've got nothing and you're happy?" And her cleaning lady said, "Oh, well, that would be Jesus," and led her to the Savior. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Got it? That's the way we're to live. That's not an occasional thing that might happen to somebody. This is the Christian lifestyle. People should be able to tell that you have hope. People should be able to see that you have joy. You don't have to be phony. "Hi, every day's a great day at our house. Hi, this is the Wood Residence. We're so happy, we can't come to the phone right now." Okay? "But if you'll leave a message, we'll laugh out loud before we call you back." You don't have to pretend that every day you feel good. But even when you feel lousy, you've got hope, you've got joy, you've got peace. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not pretending. It's just getting in touch with what's real if you're a Christian. It's better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That's the reason why Jesus died. It was for you to be saved. It was for you to know his love. That's the reason he died. It was for our salvation. So, as you live your life today, I want you to think about what God has done for you. Because the fact of the matter is, Jesus doesn't need us on his team. But he loves us. And he came to save us. And I hope that you have that hope and confidence in him. I want you to live the kind of life that will cause people to ask questions. Why are you different? Why aren't you like everybody else? Why aren't you chasing the same things other people are chasing? Why aren't you fighting for your rights? Why are you able to let others go ahead of you? What's the deal? And the answer? That would be Jesus.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.